This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace. When he said, those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back. Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. You definitely must be that exceptional American, right? You must be, because you're listening to this radio show. I hate it when this happens, don't you? No, you don't. You love it when this happens, so welcome. And by the way, as Will, our good friend Will Johnson always says, when you woke up this morning, guess who was your president? Now, as I always say, yesterday when you woke up, who was your president? Kind of like, who's your daddy? And then Will always comes back. And tomorrow when you wake up, Donald Trump will be your president. And I say, 2 years ago, Donald Trump was your president. I love it when a plan comes together. Anyway, Oregon, we love Oregon. We love absolutely our compadres in New California. We're going to get this new Oregon group going for the new Oregon. They've got all the elements of establishing a new state. They'll be 52. Well, 51. We're 51. And I know, listen, all the new Illinois people out there, you're going to make Chicago a state in itself. I know. That way you can just lay back and be Illinois. Get it? And we'll have Chicago as a state. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what the feds would do with Chicago as a state? I think that would be absolutely spiffy and terrific, right? Anyway, so welcome aboard. A lot of things going on. Remember to visit our website, 821NR.com, and of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We have grievance number 75 today. 20 more grievances in the series of 95 grievances. Wow. That's all I can say is wow and wow-wee, if you know what I mean. So we have 75 grievances. After today, we'll be under our belt. Can you imagine that? We've been going out for 75 weeks. 75 weeks. It's kind of interesting that the 51st grievance was read. What day was that read on? Oh, January 1st, 2019. Shocking. Someone's doing some math. No, listen, I got to tell you. There's no calculation going on there. It's just that's the way it worked. The 51st grievance that we read was on January 1st, 2019. We did that in honor of the deceased, Ranel Singh, out of Newman, California, and we read it. We read the grievance. We read the grievance in Newman, California, in honor of Ranel Singh, and also to say to all the law enforcement around this land, and certainly sheriffs and other law enforcement officers in California, we support you in New California. Very memorable day. We had all the yellow vesters out there. All of us yellow vesters were out there. It was a beautiful sight. 50-some plus people walking around all over Newman going, what in the world is this all about? And they soon found out as we read grievance number 51. Yeah, it's working. New California is working. Anyway, what else is going on? But you know, this whole thing going on in Oregon as a thing. Now, remember, we reported, I got to catch up on this, and I will, but we're going to get into another little hitch in the giddy-up in Oregon, and that's what happened in Portland. We have a gutless, cowardice police chief up there, and also the mayor is a gutless, coward mayor. What does this guy call these guys, these liberals? Wussies? No, worse than wussies. It's a name worse than wussies. Have you noticed the very effeminate beings that call themselves men, boys, in these Antifa protesters? Have you noticed that? And they run around with their little black caps and dark clothes like they're little Nazis. Have you ever seen that act in Oakland? It's kind of interesting to watch that. You see them every once in a while. They crop up and they got the little black beady eyes. I wonder if they wear black contact lenses so they can have black beady eyes. You know, I mean, seriously, I've seen guys who do that. Or they do the one thing where they get those real scary looking lenses, you know. Have you ever seen that, those guys? It's like they put these plastic covers over their eyes and it's like, yeah, look like there's rage going on. Rage. And of course, I bring that up because I did see a guy who was doing that with. And I asked him, I said, don't you have brown eyes? Well, they're black. I said, no, I can see the lens, you know. Why do people do such things? I have no idea, to look mean, tough, and nasty. But, you know, that's one of the things I've noticed about these people in the Antifa group. Of course, they put masks on. They don't want you to see who they are. And they start throwing, you know, rocks at you. And now they're throwing these concrete milkshakes, they call them. They get quick setting cement and put them in a, it looks like milkshakes, of course, and it hardens and they throw it at people. Well, yeah, it's better than a brick, right? Not as thick as a brick, but it's better than a brick, they say. But have you noticed that these guys look like little wussies? They do. And they're very effeminate acting. So that's just kind of odd. Not really, some people would say. It's just odd. I think most people would say it's just odd. When you really break it out and you take a look at these people, you know, with a wussy with a brick can be a wussy with a brick, right? And they get empowered and pretty soon they start doing stupid things, acting well beyond the norm of people that are street smart. Now, that is a detriment to them in the long run. If you're doing bang business out in the street, you're probably going to get banged out by the bangers, trust me. But this is what they try and do. So they sneak up on you. They do all kinds of crazy. They jump you. Of course, they jump you in gangs and throngs. And they also work in conjunction and concert with the police. Now, isn't that kind of thrilling? In Portland, this is not the first time we've seen this little ditty where the police are told to stand down. Let them riot. Let them riot. Encourage rioting. And you see, that's lawlessness when you have, I mean, that really, it's not just a little clue. That is outright lawlessness. We saw this in Ferguson, remember? When the National Guard even were told to stand down by Nixon. I think the guy's name was Nixon was the governor at the time. His last name was Nixon. No relationship to Tricky Dick. But when they're told to stand down, law enforcement or those that are enforcing the rule of law are told to stand down by authorities, that's not constitutional. That's not, and those people that are in law enforcement need to wake up. And I know that there's a struggle in some, and it's really weird for me to understand this. If you're a sheriff and you don't understand your own authority and sovereignty over your county, then you shouldn't be a sheriff. And you shouldn't run for sheriff unless you have a thorough understanding about who you are, and what you stand for, and what you represent. And I say that because I've had conversations with many sheriffs who did not understand that concept. And when they look it up and we talk to them and they understand, it's like, they become different human beings. And they stand up to these people that are trying to claim and encroach upon their sovereignty, which is what you see with county supervisors and so on. It gets into this whole thing, this whole chain of authority, of constitutional authority. People have to have that belief system and that tie-in that if they are sworn, they have an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. And when they choose not to support the Constitution of the United States, and they go superior to Article 6 of the Constitution, the Supremacy Clause, that's when we have the breakdown of the rule of law. We'll be right back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
Oh, clashes in the streets of downtown Portland went on for hours Saturday afternoon. Officers say they learned early on protesters plan to throw milkshakes. Mayor Ted Wheeler's senior public safety advisor, Robert King, says a lieutenant saw one of the milkshakes hit someone during the protest.
There was a powdery substance that when it struck a person, that there was a irritation, which you wouldn't expect on the skin or eyes from a milkshake, and that there was an odor that was consistent with a quick drying cement-like product.
The police bureau tweeted about the milkshakes, even though King says there's no physical evidence of that ingredient in the bureau's possession.
I think that there's an interest always in sharing information, even if it can't be completely confirmed or verified at that moment, because it may have a nexus to safety.
That tweet drew criticism, some people claiming it may have incited even more violence.
It was done in an abundance of caution to help inform people about the potential risk of being hit by a milkshake.
Police also released this anonymous email, including ingredients of the milkshake. However, King could not speak to the credibility of the email. These three people, James Stocks, Maria DeHart, and Gage Halapowski, were all arrested Saturday and were in court today facing various charges. But there is still backlash coming from the community, saying police did not step in when the most brutal attacks were happening. The Portland Police Association's president, Daryl Turner, said in a statement in part, "It's time for our mayor to do two things, tell both Antifa and Proud Boys that our city will not accept violence." He goes on to say, "Remove the handcuffs from our officers and let them stop the violence through strong and swift enforcement action." Mayor Ted Wheeler put out several tweets saying in part, "We stand against all forms of violence." He also says officers have a difficult job and hard decisions are being made in real time.
The mayor has been very clear and very explicit that he expects, that he authorizes his police bureau to take the actions that are necessary to protect the community and to effect arrests when and where they can.
Well, well, well. You know, it's kind of interesting, the cement milkshake. I mean, yeah, and those of you that work with cement, you know, understand the significance of Portland cement. Get it? I mean, the metaphor, you just can't lose it. Portland cement in Portland. Here, have a Portland cement shake. You know, Portland cement. I wonder if anybody else picked up on that little thing, Portland cement. Cement. Hello, you're in Portland. They're throwing cement milkshakes at you. It may be made of Portland cement, or it might not be. It's Quikrete. But, you know, is Portland cement in Quikrete? Yes. I'm going to double check on that one. I am going to double check. Is Quikrete, does it contain Portland cement? I'm drawing a blank on my screen. Come on now, screen. Let's play games here. Play with me. Play with me. I'm going to check this out. Is Quikrete and Portland cement? Now, listen, I know some of you know this answer because you work with cement every day. I used to do a lot of cement work, and I'll tell you, that is some hard work. Well, it is difficult work, let me tell you. It is difficult work. This is Mike Rodos. he knows how that goes. Okay, so I'm going to Google right now. Just, you know, bear with me. This is real-time research right here before your ears. I'm going to check this one out. It's not giving me Google. Come on. I got to speed this up. I know Google just owns the world, right? Not really. They own your world. That's a reality. That is a reality. Okay, is Quikrete composed of Portland cement? See, now that's a Portland milkshake, right? That's why they would use such things to hurt people, right? So let's look up Portland, L-A-N-D, cement. Okay. Let's take a look. This is what Portland cement is. Then we're going to use the infamous Wikipedia. Portland is the most common type. This is what it says. White cement. Portland Cement Association. Ah, white cement. White cement. Ah, this is what it's saying here. Here we go. White now. It's all white. It says, is the most common type of cement in general use around the world as a basic ingredient in concrete, mortar, and stucco, and especially grout. It was developed from other types of hydraulic lime in England in the mid-19th century and usually originates from limestone. It is a fine powder produced by heating limestone and clay minerals in a kiln to form clinker, grinding the clinker, and adding 2 to 3% of gypsum. Several types of Portland cement are available. See, I think we're going to get into the quickcrete thing. The most common, called ordinary Portland cement, OPC, is gray. But white Portland cement is also available. Its name is derived from its similarity to Portland stone, which is quarried on the island of Portland in Dorset, England. It was named after Joseph Aspdin, A-S-P-D-I-N, who obtained a patent for it in 1824. However, his son William is regarded as the inventor of modern Portland cement due to his developments in the 1840s. Portland cement is caustic, so it can cause chemical burns. The powder can cause irritation with severe exposure, lung cancer, and can contain some hazardous components such as crystalline silica and hexavalent chromium. Environmental concerns are a high priority. It says blah, blah, blah. So this is what the Portland cement's all about. And quite frankly, that's what was dripping from the faces of all these people. You could kind of see it. Quickcrete is, I think they got it in here too. So that was one of the instructions on one of the things that I saw. There was using quickcrete, which would have Portland in it. So yes, the Portland milkshake for all those conservatives, right? That's the way they do business. That's the way they do business with the Portland milkshakes. I bet, see, only from this radio show would you find these kind of facts out, right? Portland cement milkshake. Welcome to Portland. Hello, everybody. That's what they say. Get it? That's what they say. You know, this is the thing that people have to look for, these kind of little ditties. Now, this is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that in the next 6 months to a year, Antifa will all but cease to exist. I think maybe give it another school year, another school cycle. Here we are, we're already in July. So one more year. This time next year in 2020, Antifa is going to be just a, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for there? Antifa is going to be just a remembrance. Just a remembrance. Because, you know, all the, all the real men, you know, those with real legs, real arms, well, I think they're going to start showing up at these little skirmishes. But the police had better be there first. They have a responsibility for law and order. And as soon as they start asserting themselves, we won't see these little guys anymore. Stay with us. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles, and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated. So swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, a21r.com, a21r.com, or, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, newcaliforniastate.com. We're here. New California is here, and it really is here. It's exciting out there in Wonder Wonderland. Okay, now, conservative journalist speaks out after being attacked by Antifa protesters. This is Tucker Carlson last night. We got two things going on with Tucker. Yep. You know, you just never know about this Tucker guy. You just never know about him. Although he seems to be fairly consistent, right? So this was from his show last night. And let's see. I'm trying to hook up. Says a journalist speaks out after beatdown. Here we go.
Andy Ngo is an independent journalist in the Pacific Northwest. He's been on the show a number of times. He covers Antifa quite a bit. He was at an Antifa rally over the weekend, minding his own business, covering the news. He's a journalist. When he was beaten almost to death by Antifa, wound up in the hospital. He just got out and joins us now on this program. We're happy to see him. Andy, I'm glad you're capable of doing this interview. Tell us what happened.
On Saturday, documenting this protest that was organized by Antifa and its allies, we were a literal stone's throw away from Portland's most important institutions of the rule of law, the courthouses, the sheriff's office, the central police precinct. While hearing people chant, "No hate, no fear," I'm suddenly bashed on the back of my head from behind. And from there, I'm a very passive person. I've never been in a fight. It took me a few seconds to realize that I was actually even hitting my head. When I realized what was happening, it was too late. A mob of people, all dressed in black and wearing masks, started beating me with their fists, and some of them used objects to hit me. I don't know how many people were involved. It seemed like 5, 10, 15, or 20. It could have been that many. They beat me so much that I lost control of my GoPro camera that I was holding, which was then stolen from me. And when I thought it was over, I was wrong. I put my arms up to try to shield my face as well as to signal to them that I was surrendering and that I wasn't there to fight. But that really signaled to them to be more aggressive. So then they started dumping what I believe were milkshakes and eggs, throwing it at my face, which blinded me so I couldn't see. And I was kicked some more, punched some more. And all this time I kept thinking, where are the police? I could still see the Multnomah County Justice Center in front of me, but no police ever arrived. I eventually stumbled away, bleeding, across the park, and I lost my balance, so I sat down on the ground in front of the courthouse. And from there, a medic SWAT team informed me that in order to get an ambulance to be taken to a hospital, I would have to walk to the police precinct. In other words, walk back in the direction of the demonstrators who just attacked me. Later that night, after arriving in the emergency room, I had a CT scan, which confirmed that I was diagnosed with a brain hemorrhage.
From which you're suffering neurological damage. Just to remind our viewers, this is the group that CNN's primetime anchors have defended and promoted. I saw that Andrew Yang, who's running for president as a Democrat, bless him, attacked Antifa for this. Have you received any other support very quickly from any other Democratic office holders in Portland or nationally?
Not that I know of.
Not that I know of. What? That tells you everything. And, you know, we're happy that you're at least capable of joining us tonight. That's a shocking story, an enraging story. We wish you the best on your...
Okay, so that's it, you know? That's all, folks. That's all, folks. Clown show continues from the Insane Clown Posse people, right? I know they don't want me to say ICP. The ICP people don't want me to say that. So I'll be... To the true ICPers out there, I'll stop right now, for right now. But what else do you want to call them? Well, we'll figure out another name. But it will be Insane, and it will be Clown as far as part of it. The Insane Clown Show, there you go. It just kind of keeps on going, doesn't it? Ocasio-Cortez, Antifa, Dianne Feinstein. See, Dianne Feinstein has distanced herself. I don't get into the fray of that. I'm a senator. I'm a good communist senator. Oh, I'm a good California senator. Well, both are synonymous, right? I don't get into that sort of thing. But Nancy Pelosi, now you talk about insane in the membrane. There you go. We'll call it the Insane in the Membrane Posse. How's that? IMB. I like that one. So, yeah, this is lawlessness, folks. This, when you have your police, the police stand down, that is called lawlessness. Right? Lawlessness. Absolute lawlessness. there was another kind of lawlessness going on. One that is the, we're going to talk about this. I don't think we're going to do this in the next segment. That is what Donald Trump is saying. Well, let's do this. Let's do this. It's interesting, the homelessness term, which we've been using on in our comments about homelessness. 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 It is a word, by the way. I've been told, because we put it out in our grievances at times. It's not a word. That's not true. What do you mean it's not a word? And it is true. Homelessness is a word. Well, I think I will play it. And I'm going to play it right now. We're going to blow through the commercial. Because I think this is so salient and so relevant. Grievance number 75. Today's theme is homelessness. Now, I wonder why it would be homelessness today. We've been kind of, I got to tell you, the inspiration for number 75 came really from last week in our travels through California. And it really came at a moment at a location which I spoke. I was going to be the speaker. And this is how it came about. And it has nothing to do with this, what I'm going to play with Tucker Carlson. He got from Donald Trump yesterday. It really doesn't. What it does have a lot to do with, of course, is just the notion of homelessness. So I go to my location. I've got to turn down the thing here. And I'm getting ready to, you know. So I said, I got to go to the restroom. I got to wash my hands. Because we drove a long ways and all that stuff. So I go in the restroom, and there's several men in the restroom. And outside the restroom, it's a very public place, by the way, was a man who was seated in one corner. You walk around the corner. They're hidden away, and in other areas is another man seated. He's home. They're both homeless people. There's no question about it. And they're kind of squirreling themselves away, so they can't be so seen, but they're in a safe location. So I go in the restroom, and there's several more, and there's at least four people in there, men that were homeless. It turns out that there was an activity going on at the location that was helping to try and help homeless people in the community. I thought that was a pretty noble gesture. But to be amongst them in the restroom when they had all their dignity stripped of them, doing the basics like brushing their teeth, washing their hands, cleaning their faces. And they were homeless. It's clearly they were homeless. Why would they be brushing their teeth, washing their faces, and taking care of the bare necessities in the restroom of a very public place, in a very big place that's notable? Why would they be there? Because they're homeless, duh. And they have nowhere else to go. But for a moment, I was stunned by their lack of dignity for themselves. They were once dignified people, all white men, I might add. But they were homeless, they were destitute, down on their luck. When they closed the facility, we left before they closed it, but I kept wondering, when the facility closes, where are they going to go? And join the rest of the thousands that are out there in California, hundreds of thousands now, that are homeless. And I said to myself, what created this monstrosity of homelessness in California? Of course, it's the reason why we have New California. It's one of the major reasons why we have New California, is because it's a direct blunt to socialism. It's socialism that has brought these people to this condition. And in California, we have a very pernicious variety of socialism. We have our own California socialism. There's no question about it. Very clearly identified by some very obvious signs and symptoms in which you've got a system of government that's been completely gamed by totalitarians, by those seeking and usurping power. Let's use that word, usurp. taking power up, usurping it, which is, of course, very, very common when you talk about the socialist, right? You talk about those people who want to take power from other people. And, of course, we've seen the end result so many times in history that sometimes we learn these things in book courts, quite frankly. You have a whole generation in our schools now that don't even know this stuff because they never learned it. You know, it was drilled in our head pretty hard back in the days of the Cold War about what this was all about. We have a generation who does not understand what it's all about, but they are waking up and they're saying there's something wrong. And that's where it comes to us to educate them and to bring them enlightenment as to what's going on. And we will, and we are. But the battle, the pernicious variety of California socialism is going on right now. It's raging. And it is a forest fire. No question. It is raging like a fire that's got to be extinguished. And that's what we are doing in New California. We are that antidote, if you will, for homelessness, for the pernicious socialism that we have here. It's our variety of socialism. And by the way, this is the danger to this country, is California's pernicious socialism. It's very much what's already started to spread in the varieties of Ocasio-Cortez, right? You see it there. And you see it in the Gavin Newsoms. You see it in, of course, the monoparty legislature that you have here in California. This is what yields from their behavior is homelessness. It's one of the first things. They must strip you of your dignity, which is what all those men had. They had less than dignity. It was gone. They didn't want to look at me in the face. They kept turning away. They would turn away. They wouldn't make eye contact. Having your dignity stripped of you, even in a men's restroom, is what this is all about. This is the face of evil. Anytime you see a homeless person running around, that's the face of evil. It's the face of socialism. It's what all good socialists want for all good U.S. citizens. There's no question about that here in California. And that's the whole nature of this. It is a pernicious socialism against United States citizens. They've mixed that in. Get rid of American citizens. And they're working on California to do just that. First, it starts with the schools and the education. Get rid of American citizens out of the colleges and universities. They've started that, of course. They're well into that. Next is to get the replacement people that you need to have and operate government. So you bring in illegal foreign nationals. You support them. You induce them across the border with money and more money and more services. That's what you do. And then you start offering them jobs. You give them what's called California citizenship, like Jerry Brown, which is not U.S. citizenship, of course. However, under California citizenship, you give them jobs in government. And you work more and more and just hire only illegal foreign nationals. And pretty soon, where are the citizens of the United States who live in California working? Are they working in the government jobs? No, they're replaced by illegal foreign nationals who are loyal to something else. They're certainly not loyal to this country. And, of course, that's part of their bidding to come across the border. Now, are we criticizing the individuals, these illegal foreign nationals, for being induced and enticed and oftentimes paying their way to get into the United States because they want a better life? That's not where we're going with this. There is a system that has established this process. It's that we have to struggle against. It's that system that we struggle against. It is that system that we must destroy. In our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and our Bill of Rights is the avenue to destroy it for once and for all. We can stop it this generation. But, you know, as Winston Churchill said at Potsdam, by the way, I've been to Potsdam, What he said was, after World War II at Potsdam in 1945, he said, all I see that we have done, and my biggest fear is that we've only stopped this process for the next 50 years. In other words, what he is saying, I think we can only stop this whole process of socialism, war, like the Second World War, for only 50 years. And then as a generation grows through, two or three down the road, it will reappear. And guess what? We got 75 years, and now it's here. And we are at the brink. We are at the threshold. It will, in fact, we be that generation to stop it once and for all. Pretty interesting question. Will we be that generation?
Welcome back to Paju, South Korea. We're standing just a few feet from the DMZ, the demilitarized zone, where the president met with Kim Jong-un on Sunday. Back in the United States, the president just kicked off his reelection campaign with the slogan, Keep America Great. Great or not, though, America still has quite a few problems. Homelessness is a huge one, so is the opioid epidemic, and big tech and its strangulation of some of our most basic freedoms. The president will have to address those problems if he wants to win re-election, and we asked him about all of them in part two of our interview. Here it is. Google, by some measures, the most powerful company in the world. All information flows through it. They're against you. They don't want you re-elected. Can you get re-elected if Google's against you?
So, you know, I've been hearing that about Google and Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
I won. They were totally against me. I won. Hillary
but they
Clinton,
didn't think you were going to win.
Well, they fought me very hard. I mean, I heard that, and they're fighting me hard right now, which is incredible because I think the Democrats want to shut them up, and frankly, so do a lot of the Republicans want to shut them up. If you look at Twitter, I have millions and millions of people on Twitter, and it's, you know, it's a very good arm for me. It's great social media. But they don't treat me right. And I know for a fact, I mean, a lot of people try and follow me, and it's very hard. I have so many people come up. They say, sir, it's so hard. They make it hard to follow. What they're doing is wrong and possibly illegal, and a lot of things are being looked at right now. But you're right. Google is very powerful, but I won. And a poll just came out today. I'm at 50, 55, and they do say you can add 10 to whatever poll I have, okay? And I never get good press. I mean, I haven't had a good story. I used to get the best press in the world. You remember the old days when I was an entrepreneur. I used to get great press. Now I get, because of what I stand for, represent, and nobody's ever had, I think, 93%. It came out the other day, 93%. And I'm talking about stories that should be good, they make them bad, or should be great, they make them, like, neutral. And yet I won, and I'll win again. So when they say it's the most powerful, it may be, but they were against me. Facebook was against me. They were all against me. Twitter was against me. I've been very good for Twitter. I don't think Twitter would be the same without what I do on Twitter. But they just have this crazy disposition. They have this philosophy. And yet the Democrats are very much opposed to them in so many ways. It's sort of an amazing thing.
So you just said that what the tech companies are doing may be illegal. Is there a role for the Justice Department?
Well, there could
out.
Be, and I don't want to even say whether or not they're doing something, but I will tell you, there are a lot of people that want us to, and there are a lot of people, all you have to do is pick up a newspaper and read it, or see it, or watch Fox, or watch some other network. There are a lot of people that want us to take action against Facebook, and against Twitter, and frankly, against Amazon.
Yep.
Amazon also. A lot of people want us to take action.
Are you going to?
I can't say that, Tucker. That I can't say.
You come to where we are now, Osaka or Tokyo, and the cities are clean. There's no graffiti, no one going to the bathroom on the street. You don't see junkies.
It's very nice, isn't it?
Very different from our cities.
Yep. Well, no, some of our cities
some
are
of our
right,
cities. But New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, they've got a major problem with
very sad.
With filth.
Very sad.
Why is that?
It's a phenomenon that started 2 years ago. It's disgraceful. And I'm looking at it very seriously. We're doing some other things, as you probably noticed, like some of the very important things that we're doing now. But we're looking at it very seriously because you can't do that. You can't have what's happening where police officers are getting sick just by walking the beat. I mean, they're getting actually very sick. Where people are getting sick, where the people living there are living in hell, too. Although some of them have mental problems where they don't even know they're living that way. In fact, perhaps they like living that way. They can't do that. We cannot ruin our cities. And you have people that work in those cities. They work in office buildings, and to get into the building, they have to walk through a scene that nobody would have believed possible 3 years ago. And this is the liberal establishment. This is what I'm fighting. I don't know if they're afraid of votes. I don't know if they really believe that this should be taking place. But it's a terrible thing that's taking place. And we may be, you know, I had a situation when I first became president. We had certain areas of Washington, D.C., where that was starting to happen. And I ended it very quickly. I said, you can't do that. When we have leaders of the world coming in to see the president of the United States and they're riding down a highway, they can't be looking at that. I really believe that it hurts our country. They can't be looking at scenes like you see in Los Angeles and San Francisco. San Francisco, I own property in San Francisco, so I don't care, except it was so beautiful. And now areas that you used to think as being, you know, really something very special, you take a look at what's going on with San Francisco. It's terrible. So we're looking at it very seriously. We may intercede. We may do something to get that whole thing cleaned up. It's inappropriate. Now, we have to take the people and do something. We have to do something.
Right.
And, you know, we're really not very equipped as a government to be doing that kind of work. That's not really the kind of work that the government probably should be doing. We've never had this in our lives before in our country. And it's not only those few cities, it's a couple of other cities.
No, it's
cities
a lot
also.
Of cities.
At the same time, most of our cities are doing great. But if you look at some of these, they're usually sanctuary cities run by very liberal people, and the states are run by very liberal people. But the thing that nobody can figure out is, do these governors or mayors,
here we go,
do they really think this is a positive? Do they really think this is okay? Because it's not. It's destroying their city. And it's destroying a whole way of life. And it's not our country. It's not what our country is all about.
Well,
President, we asked him later in that hour about UFOs. We'll tell you what.
UFOs. Well, it's not okay with the president. And, you know, I thought about Grievance 75 on Saturday. And I said it's time that we come out with another grievance about homelessness. And then on Sunday, Tucker interviews the president about homelessness. To me, that's called a clue. And that's why we wrote grievance number 75 about homelessness, which we will read to you in the next hour. We're running out of time right now. But you can see why this is so important to the United States of America, and why you have sanctuary cities and counties and whole states that suddenly have the big problem of homelessness. And it's interesting, an issue that's been brought up many, 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 many times is that the homeless that are out there are really United States citizens of all colors, all stripes, all sizes, all shapes, all ethnic groups. While the illegal foreign nationals are getting the jobs, becoming a new middle class. And of course, that's going to have to stop. If citizenship means anything to this country, and gee, they won't even let the president ask a simple question about citizenship on a census form. That's what needs to change, ladies and gentlemen. Citizenship needs to be honored in this country, and it will be honored in New California State. Thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember, stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.